trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not upon their own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. God has directed us to this sanctuary. He has directed us to this place of worship where we can be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. I know somewhere between midnight and this morning, we lost an hour. And boy, we feel it, don't we? Man, we fail to forget that 1 hour means something, don't it? And you had to roll on over. You start questioning God this morning. Lord, do I have to get on up? We know this is the Lord's day, folks. There ain't no better place than to be in the house of the Lord, folks. You know, God is good, y'all. He is good all the time, folks. Folks, I want to talk to you this morning on a topic. A house of prayer. But before I go there, I want to take a moment to welcome our guests, our visitors. We are so thankful to have y'all with us this morning. It's a blessing that you're here. Service wouldn't be the same without you. We hope, trust, and pray that you enjoy your stay while you're here. And to our members, our family, it is always good to see you. Amen. Love family, y'all. Love family. We fight like cats and dogs, but I still love family, y'all. I hope, trust, and pray this morning in our service something will be said to encourage you. Something will be said to strengthen you, but most of all, something will be said to edify our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Back in January, around about the 13th, our President Donald Trump was on a plane flying from Washington, D.C. to the Bergstrom Airport here in Austin. On his way here, about 30, 40 miles out, they grounded all of the planes. And they wanted to make sure there was nothing in the air within about a 40, 50 mile radius. Air Force One is in the neighborhood. And it landed right here in Austin. And as it landed, they rolled out the red carpet to our president. And he got on off, walked on the red carpet, walked through the airport, waving, got on those limousines. There's about five or six of them. These are special limousines, folks. These are bulletproof limousines. These are limousines that you can't get close to. And there's about five or six of them. And he brought an entourage, and they got out in the limousine, and there were about five or six police cars in front. Five or six police cars in the back, half dozen of police was on motorcycles on the side, each side. And they commenced going down 71 and 183, causing up all kinds of traffic. He came into town because Apple is breaking ground over on Palmer. If you think it's crowded over there now, wait a year or two. It's gonna get even crowdier, folks. Came into town and folks was all excited about seeing the president. Folks, when I was studying this weekend, I thought about that. And I thought about another man coming into town. But this town was called Jerusalem. This town was a place where Jesus was set up at in Jericho. And he came on down from Jericho to Bethlehem, came on down on the south side of Mount Olive. And he came on down, he sent his disciples, two disciples, I need you to go into the city and I want you to get a donkey in a coat. And I want you to bring it back to me because I gotta make a triumph entry into the city of Jerusalem, just like the president did. Folks, the title of my message this morning is A House of Prayer. I'm going to try my best to paint a picture to you this morning about the importance of worship and the importance of prayer, because they go hand in hand. I don't believe we pray enough, and that's one of the strengths that we ought to have in our lives, is prayer. And I don't believe that we take enough time to keep our sanctuary, our house, clean like it ought to be. And I know sometimes you get tired of me telling you about who God is. But he is a spirit. John 4:24 said he is a spirit. And those folks who are going to worship me, going to have to worship me by the right spirit, my spirit, in truth. Ain't no other way. I want you to go with me to the book of Matthew's chapter 21. And I'm going to have you put your finger on verse number 1. I've asked Brother Terrence Washington, I want to use his elegant voice that he has, that I want him to read verses 1 through 16. And I want us to read along with him. Brother Terrence.
Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say to them, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt and a foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of money changers and the seats of those who sold doves, and said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were indignant and said to him, do you hear what they are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise?
Amen, amen, amen. Folks, our lesson this morning is titled, A House of Prayer. Our Lord is the King of Kings. Our Lord have put the perfect sacrifice in place that he have created an opportunity for us to be able to see his Father face in peace. You see, it was him who stood in the gap. It was him who brought us back to God. There was no other who could stand in the gap like Jesus. Jesus could stand in the gap. How high he looked, how low he looked, couldn't find one that could stand in the gap. We owe everything to Jesus, folks. Everything. It was prophesied in the book of Isaiah. It was prophesied in the book of Zechariah. It was prophesied in Psalms that this day was going to happen. This day was going to come true. This day, our Lord humbled himself with humility, coming down the streets on a donkey. On a donkey. Not no limousine. Help me, somebody. Not no Cadillac. Help me, somebody. He's not in no Mercedes. He's coming in town riding on a donkey. The King of Kings. And as he's coming in town riding on a donkey, children, parents, folks are gathering, breaking limbs and stuff, trying to get set up as he's coming into town. The King is here. The King is here. Hosanna! King of David. Hosanna. King of David. Our Lord comes into town. And these same folks who are hollering, King, Majesty, they bow down to the political pressure because these same folks, in a few days later, want to kill him. Help me, somebody. You see how folks can turn on you so quickly? I am so glad that Jesus stuck to his guns to do his Father's will and not ours. That was tough, y'all. You see, the book of Matthew is one of the only books that really recognized, well, he recognized himself from the standpoint as king here on a donkey. You know, I sit back, listen, I grew up in the country, East Texas, Lufkin, Carthage, Nacogdoches, y'all know what that is. Okay, I've been around all kinds of animals, donkeys, mules, hogs, pigs, cows, whatever you want to call it, I've been around them and ate some of them too. See, we ate whatever put on the table, y'all. Okay? And a lot of stuff was put on the table, wasn't bought in the grocery store, y'all. Amen, Barbara. Listen to me, y'all. My daughter Brianna, you go out there, you just put some stuff on the table in any kind of grocery store, you think my daughter Brianna gonna eat it? I told her something to starve. That means more for me. Listen, folks. Jesus is coming into town, y'all. As he's coming into town, y'all, the crowd is growing, is building. So you got to understand, during the Passover at the temple, there are thousands of people already here, and they're gathering. A lot of foreigners, y'all. Okay, Gentiles that are here in the temple. You see, while they're here in the temple, y'all, they are sitting here exchanging money. They're sitting here with animals and selling stuff with all kinds of booths. See, there's gangsters, thugs, pimps, everything here in the temple that's been created. Okay? Everything is sitting here. All right? But this is supposed to be the temple. This is supposed to be the house of God. And all this stuff is going on here. Jesus is coming through here, y'all. He's seeing all this is taking place. This is why, in your scriptures reading, he said, it it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But somehow, some way, you made it a den of thieves. You trashed it up. Y'all, if you don't know, now you know. Jesus is here. Oh, wow. I thought I should have got a whole lot of amens out of that. Listen. He's in the house, y'all. He said it himself. Well, two or three are gathered. What? Oh, he's in the mix. He's here, y'all. The leadership set it up that we're going to worship at 10 o'clock. I know some of us didn't get it at 10:15, but I know y'all don't want me to go there. Listen. Don't cheat Jesus. This place is holy, y'all. He's holy. He's a spirit, y'all. Don't cheat Jesus. We don't cheat them folks at what? Watch out now. Don't cheat Jesus. This place is holy. Y'all didn't turn this thing into a mockery. Y'all got all this stuff going on here in the temple? What are you doing? What are you doing? He's upset. He has every right to be upset. And you wonder sometimes, parents, why? We tell you not to let your children run around in here. Sometimes you wonder why some of our sisters just go out of the way to decorate and clean this place up to make it look good. How they get on you sometimes, children, about bringing stuff in here. Trying to keep this place the way it should be. Trying to make sure that we understand that this is a worship for God. But see, sometimes our problem is that our bodies are here, but our minds are somewhere else. Folks, we need to understand. Let that food and the oven and the crock pot, let it go. And get your mind on God. Don't worry about the job tomorrow. You may not see tomorrow. We've gotten so caught up like we know we're going to be here tomorrow. Ain't tomorrow promising nobody, including me. Amen, walls. A place of worship. We got to worship God right, y'all. Our attitude, our behavior has got to be in the right place. Hear me, y'all. Big West, I need you to go. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and 15. Put your finger there. I'll be there in a minute. But we got to make sure that our attitude, our behavior, our minds are right for worship. Don't come here to check the box. Listen. God is a jealous God. Listen. He tells us, love him first. With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And then he tells us a second time, second one. Love the Lord your God as what? Your neighbor. As you. So you're going to love you. But you're going to struggle with me. Amen. But I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. What does he feed? Timothy. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 3:15. Big words. What does it say?
But if I have delayed, I write so that you may know that you ought to, how you ought to conduct yourself.
Hold on now. How to what?
How to conduct yourself.
Come on now. Say it again. How to what?
How to conduct yourself.
Read.
In the house of God.
Come on now. We're in the house of God, y'all. How to conduct yourself. Where your mind? song, are we lifting up our voice to sing? Are we engaging ourselves to sing? When the Father is praying up here, are we praying along with Him? Where are us? Where is our mind? Where is our mind? Not your body. Not your body. Your mind, folks. God is a spirit. Read.
Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth.
The pillar and the ground of truth. He's coming through. He's upset. He's healing people. Doing His work. Doing His will. And He gets to the temple. And He sees a mess of things that are taking place. But I want to share with you. This wasn't the first time. See, 3 years earlier, he had to clean house. 3 years earlier, Big West, go to John chapter 2. Put the finger on verse number 13. See, in John, he writes, read.
Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem.
Now this is 3 years earlier. Read.
And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords.
Stop. Hold on there. Listen. You know, folks. Church ain't no social event. The church ain't, you know, the church is not just because, you know, somebody you just want to meet and just hang out with. That's not what the house of God is for. I mean, there are benefits for us being here. And you're going to receive some benefits for being here. You're going to get that. But your primary focus, your primary reason here in God's house is to worship. Nothing before that. You see, I remember this sister, older sister. We was at North Houston. I was younger in my marriage when Ben was just a little bit old boy, about 2 years old. I remember Ben used to try to cut up. And I'd be up front. And boy, if my wife knows, if he cut up in church, and dad got to come get him, it's on. Okay? And so sometimes what she used to do is when he tried to cut up, she'd get him and go back to the nursery. And this sister, older sister, grabbed her one day afterwards and told her this. She said, listen to Sister Calloway. You got to teach him to sit there. He's going to cry. He's going to act up. But this is where the training come into place. This is where you may want to bring something with you where he can do or he can eat or something, but don't want to make a mess. But bring your little card, something that he understand what it means and what it looks like. Okay? Get him used to that, of sitting there. And when he act up, pop him with it. Pop him where he feel it. If you do it again, pop him again. But you gotta work with him. You gotta train him. Don't get up and run to the nursery every time he cries. Or every time he holler. Because see, he said, well, if I holler, twice, you coming to me. Man, them little babies are smart. Y'all laughing. Babies are smart. Okay. Pop him. And let me tell you something. When Ben was 3 years old, we hardly ever took Ben out of the cereal because he acted a fool. remember what you called. What she called it something. That switch, that stick that she had. She called it a name. But every time she left the house, she had it. And she made it visible for him to see it and what it looked like. Never had no more problem with Ben in the worship service. We bring out him. Oh, Lord. Y'all remember, y'all know Brianna. Some of you do anyway. That was a different cut. No two kids are alike. And see, she knew that I had a weakness when it came to Brianna. And Brianna knew it too. That it was a problem. And I said, baby, you gotta help me with this one. I can't whoop my baby like that. I just can't whoop her like that. Help me, baby, help me. And she looked at me. And you know, she ain't gotta say nothing, but you can read what she says anyway, even though she opened up her mouth. And all I remember she said, I got this. So she had it. But we gotta teach our children, y'all. We got it. We can't wait. We can't wait till they get up here now. Y'all, when they get up here, they're gonna buck up to you. Because the world is hard to them, y'all. You gotta get them when they down here and work with them like building blocks. Work with them. Teach them. I'm talking about the house of prayer, y'all. I'm talking about God's house. Wes, did you finish? Come on now. He don't know. That's okay, Wes. I'll come back to you. That's okay. That's my boy, y'all. Leave him alone. That's my boy. I'll come back to him. But listen to me, y'all. Over in John chapter 2, okay? I want you to pay attention to this because this is the first time. See, Jesus was very angry here. He was really upset about what was taking place in the temple. All right, read, Wes. Start at verse 13. You start there again.
Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple.
Stop. Listen. Taylor, I'm 58 years old. I got whoopings, Taylor. Now, granted, I might have whooped you with one of these here a couple times, but I know your mama Shaston didn't. Okay? Listen, I've got whoopings with switches, trees, limbs, sticks, extension cords, chair thrown at me, or what? Even a plate, whatever she got a hand on, because all the time when I got whooping, I was running. Okay, now I'm just telling you, I don't know about y'all, my mama was crazy. I love my mama to death, but she was just crazy. I'm just telling y'all, I don't know about y'all. Y'all can laugh if you want to. Oh, she was crazy. Jesus is putting together a whip made out of what?
Cords.
And he's cleaning house with it. I would hate to be one of those animals or people in the way of the whip that he's using. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, when mama used to whip us, daddy used to whip us, that one lick, I'll take us one, that one lick, you feel it? Oh, my God, it's on. You running for your life. You act like somebody shot you with a bullet or something, you running so hard. Y'all remember that? So I can imagine Jesus with this whip. He's got this whip, yo. He got this whip cleaning house. Man, the Lord is upset. He's upset. He has every right to be upset. You in his father's house bringing all this mess. You got all this stuff going on. And it's got to be any old kind of way. And see, the reason for this, let me just give a little history here. I don't spend a lot of time on that, but I'm going to give you a little bit. The reason for this is, see, those political leaders, they wanted money so they could keep the upkeep of the temple. Those folks who were making the exchange and the money and stuff, you got to see, these are foreigners coming from all over the place. See, a dollar there in Jerusalem may not be the same dollar outside as a foreigner. Maybe less, maybe greater. And they were cheating people. Cheating people, beating people, scamming people out of money any which way they could. But they allowed that stuff to go on in the house, y'all. And Jesus is getting this stuff cleaned up. Read, Big Wes.
And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remember that it is written, zeal for your house has eaten me up.
Stop for a second. Folks, when I talk about a house of prayer, I'm talking about you as an individual. You make the worship. Listen to me. When you leave here and you go back to your place where you reside, where you spend your time, where you live, where you sleep, clean your house. Clean your house. Listen to me now. Don't have thieves in your house. Don't have fornicators in your house. Come on now, amen. Don't have people lying in your house. Don't have deceivers in your house. Don't have all that mess in your house. You need to clean your house up. God needs to be in your house. God needs to be in a place where you can be able to reach and call on Him at any given time. Spring is here. Let's get our house clean. Let's get it clean, folks. Listen. Three quick points that I'm going to set out. Number one. There have been great men of God who have always, always been men of prayer. And one of those men is David. He was a man after God's own heart. All the mistakes that he made, God still loved him. Why? Because of prayer. Listen to what he says in Psalms 86, verse 1 through 6. Listen to me, y'all. He said this, bow down your ear, O Lord. Hear me. For I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long, rejoice in the soul of your servant. For you, O Lord, I lift up my soul for you. Lord, are you good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who came up to you? Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer and attend to my voice of supplication. Folks, there's no way David could have been the man that he was without the communication and the relationship through prayer that he had with God. What about you? What about you? What about you? What about you? Do you have that kind of relationship with God? Do we? Folks, my second point is simply this. Jesus is the greatest example of a man of prayer. go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. See, sometimes, y'all, whatever we lacking, we got to do what he did. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says what?
Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.
They understood the importance of prayer, folks. They understood and saw him and witnessed him at these great events in his life. They saw the baptism, y'all. They saw the selection of the apostles. They saw the transfiguration. They saw the Lord's Supper. They saw the crucifixion. Even in Jesus' last breath, he prayed to God, folks. That's how powerful, important prayer is. We need it in our daily walk. We got to have it in our daily walk, folks. Listen. He often prayed long periods of time, y'all. After a long, long day, he prayed. Even in the wee hours of the morning, he prayed. He tried to get away to go pray, y'all. He communed with his Father, y'all. Why? Because he loved his Father. And when two people truly love each other, they're going to find a way to talk. So I bring this notion up. Because according to your action, sometimes we show that we have no time for God. I think I better say that again. You know, sometimes, y'all, sometimes, according to our actions, we think that we owe ourselves something sometimes. Sometimes I think that, you know, I'm going to just take a week off and go do sinful things because I owe that to myself, Ivan. So I'm going to go drink some beer, lay up, fornicate, do whatever I want to do because I owe that to me. I do. Help me, somebody. I don't really have time for God. My life is so hectic, so busy, so much going on. I just don't have time for God. Folks, that's nonsense. We are fools when we call our lives up with common things, worldly things, bodily things, fleshly things. And I have no time for God. Listen. Turn the TV off. We watch so much television that we'll watch more television and won't take a minute to pray. Matter of fact, the TV watchers go to sleep. Set the phone down. We act like we can't leave the house without the cell phone. I believe some of us may be going to bed with the cell phone. It's right there next to her. If it ain't in the bed, what you're doing, it's right there on the shelf next to you. Amen, walls and lights. Turn the radio off. All that music and stuff. Come on, all that beady-de-bop and wobbly-de-bop and all that stuff. Come on, y'all. Listen. Some of you just know I used to look at your Facebook. And then you disconnected me. And you got mad at me because I can't tell you. You said, quit putting all that filth on there. God still sees it. Listen. You young couples with children. School's got a lot of activities going on. After school programs, all this stuff is going on. I'm gonna share something with you that helped me. Help some of you all, because I've heard you say it in the Bible classes. My son Ben came to me and said, Dad, I wanna play basketball. I wanna play on this team, and they travels. It took him a while to come to me. because he felt that he knew the answer. But his mama kept pushing him to come to me. So he finally came to me, and I said, okay, son, let's pray on it. Okay? After about a week, I went back to him and said, okay, son, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go talk to your coaches. Here's what I'm going to tell them. I want you to know what I'm going to tell them. From 6:30 to 8 on Wednesdays, you out of pocket. From 8 a.m. morning to 1 p.m. on Sunday, you out of pocket. If they can work around that, we okay. Ben was on the team. Ben didn't miss Bible class. He didn't miss no worship service. What's important to you? See, sometimes these activities in school, they put pressure on you as if make you feel guilty, make you feel like you got to have it. What's more important to you? Oh, I travel. See, you got to understand, when I told him about that Wednesday and that Sunday, they were both in town and out of town. Help me, somebody. I like traveling with him because I got a chance to go to other congregations, Greenville Avenue, other congregations up in Atlanta, you know, different places where I could go to worship service and see other Christian folks. But he couldn't play until after 1 o'clock. Did he miss games sometime? Yes, he did. On Sunday morning, he did. That was okay with me. It seemed it didn't bother him neither. We lived through it. What's your priority? I don't buy that no time for God. Get your house in order. Folks, as I close, I want to leave you with how to become a house of prayer. And one of the ways you come to a house of prayer, you got to walk with him in your daily walk. You got to commune with him. You got to pray with him. You got to talk with him. You got to keep that relationship daily, folks. How do you become a house of prayer? Folks, you become and you be thankful. Open the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, I love Paul write this because he writes to the church of Ephesus. Okay? He over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, he says this, giving all thanks always to God the Father in the name of our love and our Lord Jesus Christ. Be thankful to him, y'all, for all and everything. He is a mighty good God, folks. Okay? Listen, not only that, folks, we got to learn to withdraw. Withdraw. Listen to me. What I mean by that, folks, we need to understand that we need to set cell phones down, set some of that stuff down, turn it off. You remember how some of you old folks like me, remember when these storms used to come? Y'all remember that? Remember when we call it lightning and thundering? Mama told you one time when you were small, she didn't tell you no more. When a storm came, I found me the best corner. Boy, that was the best sleep I ever had. Learn to withdraw. Folks, learn to be earnest in your prayers. In other words, folks, don't do it half-hearted. Don't just check the box. Be sincere. And my last point is simply, pray for the inner spirit. Pray for the inner spirit. Pray that you connect with God. Be with God. Folks, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to fall. And that's okay, y'all. That's okay. Just get up. Get up. That's all you got to do. Just get up. You're not sitting there alone. Just get right on up. Dust yourself off. Okay, I'm taking that now. You know, I remember there's a congregation back when me and Laura first married in Houston. Charles may remember this here. Was it South Union? I think it was South Union, Brother Melton. Every time they got, you know, when they come visit, you go see them. When they got ready to pray, they go on their knees. I mean, from the youngest to the oldest. I saw that when I was in college. That blew me away because you know why it blew me away? Because of my mother. My mother did the same thing, and I hated it because she had 3 operations on her knees. I hated that. That's why when I was in college, I used to go home on the weekend from time to time to see her. I didn't make no stops. I went straight home, went to her bedroom. Mama, get off your knees. I'm here. Because she's down on her knees praying for me. Lord bless my boy to get home. She knew how dangerous the highway was. Anything can happen at any given time, y'all. See, sometimes, y'all, we need to get down on our knees. So what? You know, I used to bounce up real quick. Right now, when I get on my knees, I better be leaning up against something. One of y'all gotta help me up. Paul? Help me, somebody, like I'm having a hard time now. Help me, somebody. Listen. The house of prayer. If you're not a child of the God, folks, turn your life over to God. You heard the word, now it's up to you to believe it. Repent. Turn away from that. Make that great confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. When you make that confession, I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, we will baptize you. And you become a part of this family. This great family, y'all. If you ever, you got off the wrong path, come on back home before it's everlasting too late. And we stand to sing a song of invitation.